All right. Boy, this has been different today, hasn't it? I love the PowerPoint and being able to sing off of the screen and do all of that, but it's kind of nice to get back to the old-timey days and just sing out of the songbook. And it's great that you got your songbooks out. If you put them away now and get your Bible out, because we want to do some old-timey study with that, and we'll get into the Bible and deal with an old-timey topic that I think would be good. I've entitled this Nothing But the Blood as a reminder. We want to talk about baptism today, and we're just going to look at, and I don't say just in a small way, but I mean we're going to only look at just the verses that have to do with the topic of baptism. We're going to miss a few, but I want to take us through the Bible on those kinds of things. These are going to be things that you already know about, but it's always good to be reminded, right? Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's good to have those things in your mind sometimes when you talk to other people. And so every once in a while, a little bit of a refresher course would be good. If you have your bulletin, on the back of the bulletin, there's some notes there that you can fill in a blank. Some of you like to fill in blanks. I don't know about you, but that's me. When I go somewhere and they got fill in the blanks, I'm all for it, man. I get my pen out if I have it, and I'm ready to go. And you might be too. So we've got about 9 things to fill in. And so we want to get going through it. It's already 5 minutes after, but don't worry about that. We're going to move along as quick as we can on some good stuff. So begin first in Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at, like I said, at scriptures, and then we'll discuss them briefly and move on to the next one. Once again, for your reminder, but maybe for some of us it might be a good thing to see in the first place, surely. Now, this is at the end of Matthew, as you can see, if you have your Bible open. The very last few verses is Jesus talking to his disciples. He's going to be ascending to heaven fairly soon after this, which is where we pick up in the book of Acts. But Matthew ends in 28 with Jesus gathering his disciples together, beginning in verse 16 of Matthew 28. And we'll see where baptism comes in here. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. These are his disciples, and so sometimes we might be like that as well, but they worshiped Jesus. But Jesus came up to them and spoke to them, saying, here's, by the way, why they worshiped him. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now let's just think about this text just for a second. And pick up what Jesus is saying here. The most important thing he's telling them is to go and make disciples. What's a disciple, basically? It's a learner. It's a student. It's someone who wants to not only learn from the master, but to be like the master. And so that's what he's telling his apostles. I want you to go out into all the world and make disciples. That's the number one. But then he tells us there's 2 ways to do it that are involved. And in the original language, I think I've taught this before, but in the original language, the main command is make disciples. And how that's done then is developed after that. And here's the first part, baptism, by baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Did you know when you were baptized that that's what was taking place? That you were becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ, and baptism was involved in that. And then, of course, what we're doing even now, verse 20, the second one is teaching them to observe. You can't be a disciple of Jesus if you don't learn how to be like Jesus. And from that, then, to begin to live out those kinds of things. Teaching them to observe, and that doesn't mean just note. It means to observe also in the way that you live, all that I've commanded you. And so that's what we find in the rest of the Bible. We not only find in the book of Acts them going out and making disciples, and baptism is taking place, and following, of course, Jesus Christ taking place, but we see then the rest of the books that were written were written to the early church members to teach them how to be disciples. And so we see that going on. But I just want you to note at the very beginning of that, making a disciple involves baptism. So fill in your blank, Matthew 28, make disciples. That's one of the reasons why we are baptized into Jesus Christ. We are to be baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so if you've ever observed, and I'm sure you probably have a baptism, sometimes the preacher or the father of the child, a young person that's being baptized, will say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's not necessary that you say that, but we do that just as another good reminder about what's taking place. You're being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That came from Matthew 28. We'll get over to Acts chapter 2. This is the day of Pentecost, and as we've said multiple times before, the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, is the very beginning of the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even though the good news is told by the angels, even at the birth of Jesus Christ, the good news it doesn't fully take place until after Jesus has been crucified, been raised from the dead, and then, of course, ascended to the Father. And so now he's ruling in heaven, and the day of Pentecost begins. And Peter preaches this really great message about what's really taking place here. All the noise that you see and you heard and everybody speaking in different languages, here's why that's taking place. It has to do with the Messiah. And Jesus, he says, is that Messiah. And so the people were convicted. That's verse 37. When they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. They had been party to that. They're the ones that said, crucify him, crucify him. And so they were pierced to the heart when Peter made them see that they just killed the Messiah. And so they want to know, well, what do we do about this? How do we make this right? That's their question. And Peter says in verse 38, well, you need to repent. That means to change your mind and your life, change your heart and your behavior. And then let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's his answer. And the first part is baptism. They're pierced to the heart now. They're convicted, and they're wondering, how do we fix this? And Jesus, Peter says, you need to be baptized, and your sins will be forgiven. Now, that doesn't just apply to them. That's us, too. Baptism, it forgives sin. That's the fill in the blank there. It is for forgiveness of sin. But I don't want to overlook the additional thing, and that is to receive the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we underemphasize that in our fellowship. In fact, way back in our history as a people, some of our preachers would teach us that the Holy Spirit only lived within us in the sense that he lives in the Scripture. And so when you know Scripture, you know, in a sense, you have the Holy Spirit. And yet the Bible is really clear in so many other places that when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God actually lives within you. And not only are you working on your own life but the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you. And so that's what he says here. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not a gift from the Holy Spirit, but a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so write that one down too. Forgiveness of sins. And who doesn't want that? We all want that. We can't go to heaven without our sins being washed away. And that's the idea of baptism. Our sins are taken away. But I want to say again, the reason why we've titled this lesson Nothing But the Blood, and our songs have been all about blood, is because that's where salvation really is. It's in Jesus Christ. But the place for us is then in our obedience to the gospel and our being baptized into Jesus Christ. And so that's our part of it. And when we do that, the blood of Christ comes in contact with us and washes away our sins. So that's the forgiveness, again, through the blood of Jesus Christ, but by means of our baptism into Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8, that's another one. Again, we're going to be missing some others. But in Acts chapter 8, this is a great little story. I don't know how long ago it's been we've looked at this. Hadn't been that long. But this is where Philip is sent by the Holy Spirit So go get a hold of a chariot. This guy going down the road in a chariot, he's an Ethiopian eunuch. He's been to worship in Jerusalem, to the Jewish worship in Jerusalem. And Philip joins the chariot to him, and turns out that this man is reading from the book of Isaiah. Does anybody know what chapter he's reading from? Yeah, 53. That's such a classic chapter, Isaiah 53. In fact, excuse me for getting a little bit off, but you get into 53 with a paper and pen. Actually, you start a little bit into 52, and you begin to write down things, and you will find 53 takes you through all the way through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and beyond. And so we have in Isaiah 53 this eunuch wondering, who in the world is this? And that's the question he's wanting to know. He says in verse 34, please tell me, whom does the prophet say this is? Is he speaking of himself or someone else? Well, of course, Philip, scripture tells us in verse 35, opens his mouth and he begins from the scripture, from that scripture, Isaiah 53, and he preaches Jesus to him. And so he's heard the message. He's heard about the Messiah. And so suddenly, verse 36, as they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? Do you notice that it doesn't tell us that Philip at all went into anything about how baptism is involved? But he must have, right? He must have, because the eunuch said, here's water, what stops me from being baptized? And so, of course, they were told that Philip said, this is questionable whether this is in the original text. If you look at your footnote in verse 37, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, mine's bracketed in my New American Standard. And it says in the footnote, some ancient manuscripts don't contain this verse. But don't worry, because even those verses aren't, if they aren't there, they're still true, right? You are to believe in Jesus Christ. You have to have faith in Jesus Christ. And, of course, Philip said, you've got to believe in all your heart. You have to have faith. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, but it's through our faith and then our obedience of the faith and being baptized. And so, verse 38, he stopped the chariot. They went down into the water, and Philip, as well as the eunuch, were in the water, which kind of indicates the water. He didn't just go down there and scoop up a handful of water and put it on top of the eunuch, but they both went down into the water, and he was baptized. And the Bible says the eunuch then went away on his way rejoicing. And so he was immersed. That's an important thing to know about baptism as well, is that it's immersed. But here's what I really want you to catch. No delay. That's the point. Whenever you know the gospel, that's when you decide, okay, I want to be baptized. And so there was no delay there. What hinders me? There's water right here. He could have waited till he got all the way back home. But instead he said, there's water right here. Let me be baptized. What's going to stop me from being baptized? And of course, nothing. And so he was baptized. And so in that little block, it's the hearing the good news and not waiting. There's no delay in our following the gospel. And so we find people being baptized. Book of Acts, by the way, has a couple of other stories where the Corinthians, for example, heard what was being preached and they believed and they were baptized. It puts it in that order. They heard the message, they believed it, and then they were baptized. That's not in our notes here, but that's another area of the scripture that shows the kind of the immediacy, if you will, of obeying the gospel. Now, the next one is in Acts chapter 9. It's right there almost on the same page, and it is in my Bible, of Acts chapter 8 that we just read. And this is the Apostle Paul before he's Paul. What's his name before Paul? Fred? Philip? Joe? Saul. Saul of Tarsus. And he's on his way to persecute the Jews and who have become Christian. And he's a Jew himself. And, of course, Christ meets him on the road in a vision and wants to know what he's doing. And he's harming Jesus' efforts. And, of course, Saul is then sent into Damascus, and Ananias is sent by God to speak to him. And of course, Paul's been blinded. Saul has been blinded, and he's given his vision. And in verse 18, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained gained his sight and arose and was baptized. Tie in with that, if you will. Paul telling this story, now he is Paul, so I can finally say Paul and not have to correct myself. But the Apostle Paul is Saul, of course, but Paul's telling the story about when he was Saul, and it's the same story, and that's Ananias and all of that. But he adds something that Ananias asks him in verse 16, and now why do you delay? There's that delay issue. Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. And so if you want to fill in blanks, you like doing that, wash away sins is another purpose of baptism. It's to make disciples. It's to forgive and give us the Holy Spirit. It's something we ought not, when we hear the news, delay. We ought not let anything hinder us. And then it is to wash away sins. What really, by the way, literally, spiritually washes away our sins? Is it the water? No. It's the blood of Christ. That's why nothing but the blood. When we sing all the songs about the blood of Jesus Christ, never think that there's just something by doing it that God just saves you because of that. But water is essential, and being baptized is essential. That's where we come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. I just don't want you to forget it's the sacrifice. And you know, of course, it is. But it's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. All right, now, if you look at your notes, I have five, I'm calling them pictures. It's things that baptism depict for us. They are real things, but they're kind of an imagery. When we're baptized, something is being said that's kind of a picture. Romans chapter 6 is the first one. Paul's writing. By the way, Romans is one of the greatest books that you could ever read. And, of course, the Gospels are number one because that's the whole story of Christ. But after that is the book of Romans. If you get Romans, God gets you. I want you to know that. And Romans tells us all about it. And so we get to this point where Paul asks the question, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? See, he's been preaching about that grace. And he says, whenever sin increases, grace increases all the more. That's chapter 5. And so that gets us right into this. What then shall we say if we continue to sin, or shall we continue to sin that grace may increase? And he says, may it never be. You know, God forbid, some translations say. Verse 3, don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness, there's the picture, in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing that this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer live or be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. And so it's the picture. Now again, if you like taking notes, of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now some folks say, well, you know, really all baptism is for you to reenact after you've already been saved by faith only, and that baptism is merely picturing what happened to you back then. That's not what he says here. He says your baptism is you joining with Jesus Christ in the death and burial and resurrection. And so you spiritually die to your sins. Your old self is buried, and then your old self, your new self is raised. As Bible in another place says, we walk in newness of life. And so that's the picture of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. It pictures, and you reenact that yourself when you are baptized. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. How are we doing on time? Oh, we've got time. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're supposed to be here till what? 1 o'clock? Isn't that something right? 1 o'clock? 12:30. 1 Corinthians 10, I didn't hear anybody gasp, but I'm sure you inside you gasp. So, well, this is a neat little picture because he begins in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. If you're in the Bible and you got it there, Paul says, I don't want you to be unaware. I want you to know this, that our fathers were all under the cloud and they passed through the sea. See that image? There's water on both sides, right? They divided the Red Sea, and the Israelites went down into the sea, and there's water, and then there's a cloud over them. What's a cloud made of? Water. So in a sense, that picture of them literally going through that is an image of our baptism. Notice verse 2, and all were baptized into Moses, in the cloud and in the sea. And so there's this Old Testament picture. God does that a lot, by the way. He has some picture in the Old Testament that depicts something in the future that's going to have to do with Christ. He says, basically, that these things happened as an example to us. This is verse 11. And so it actually illustrates baptism, that is the passing through the Red Sea. But it also illustrates this. Write this in your notes, if you will. It's freedom from slavery. And in their case, it was slavery from what? From who? From Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. And then they were baptized unto Moses. And when they got out on the other side, were they slaves or free? They were free. And so they were freed from slavery. We are freed symbolically from the slavery of sin, and God takes our sin away. And even though we're still tempted, because you might be thinking, well, man, I still feel kind of like a slave sometimes to sin. Well, that's because we're human and we're going to sometimes fail. That's not what it's saying. We're just broken free of it as far as having dominion over our lives, because Jesus Christ is now our Lord, and that old self that was attached to that sinful condition has been put away with and died, Romans 6 again. But we're baptized into Moses, into Christ, just like they were baptized into Moses. Am I making sense? Do you understand that? All right, Galatians chapter 3. Go over to Galatians now. Again, we're not too far, just a few pages, 7 or 8 maybe, depending on the size of your lettering. I'd like to start verse 23. Galatians chapter 3. But before faith came, that's faith in Christ, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith, which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. So what's the image here? Being clothed with Christ. You put Christ on. There's another passage about putting on Christ and putting on the spiritual life. We are baptized into Christ, and so this is being clothed, if you will, with Jesus Christ. In a sense, when God sees you, God sees Christ. He sees you, of course, but he sees Christ because Christ is living in with you. But when you're baptized, you're clothed with Christ. And so he sees Christ in his essence surrounding you in a way of protecting you, but also changing your life in that. Okay, now the book of Colossians. Again, we are missing some things that we're going to not touch on. But Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. This is an interesting one that we have to look at. Verses 8 and following. I know I have 11 to 13, but I'd like to get the context for you. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceptions according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him, this is a part I want you to see, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your trespasses and sin circumcision in your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our transgressions. Now, just getting its context, the thing to fill in here would be that what you undergo in baptism is like circumcision, only it's a spiritual sense. It's an illustration of that spiritual circumcision. Or what happens in your baptism is like the circumcision of the old. And so that's the last part. And then 2 Peter is our last one. And it's a great little illustration of something that surely you've seen before. Now, I'm sorry, I said 2 Peter. Does it say 2 in your notes?
Yes.
That's my mistake. Cross that out and put 1, 1 Peter, not 2 Peter. It's 1 Peter. I always make that mistake. I don't know why. You know, 1 and 2 Peter, you never know, do you? All right, 2 Peter chapter 3. And verses 18 through 22, and we'll finish out this little Bible study. He says in verse 18, "For Christ died for our sins, for all, once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison." Time out just for a minute. When Jesus died and his body was laid in the tomb, where was the soul of Jesus? Well, Peter's the only one that tells us. He was where the spirits who were disobedient in the old days were, the people who had died. And he actually preaches to them. I don't know what goes on there, but this shows the mercy and grace of God. Even though he wiped the world out by the flood, he sent them in a kind of a retrospect way. He sent them, Jesus, to preach to them. Now, if you had been killed by the flood and you were lost and Jesus came and preached to you, would you obey the gospel? Yeah, so it's possible. I mean, you can't read anything into it, but it seems like that's being told. The amazing grace of God through Jesus Christ, not just to save us, but to save the whole world. Verse 20 then, he says, they were, speaking of those people, who were once disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah. So we are talking about the pre-flood people. During the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. Of course, we know the story. Everybody else died. Verse 21, and corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers have been made subject to him. And so you want to fill in the blanks there? Hey, being saved. He says that. Verse 21, baptism now saves you. Of course, it's through the blood of Christ, but baptism now saves you. And some people say, well, how can water possibly do anything? Well, Peter kind of anticipates that in a sense. He says we're not talking about washing the external body. We're not talking about water doing that, even though people do bathe in water to be clean, but it pictures the spiritual cleansing that is taking place inside when you're being baptized. That's the good conscience. Our sins are taken away, and we have a good conscience. So, of course, we sing that song, What Can Wash Away My Sins? And the answer is nothing but the blood of Jesus. But involved, for some reason, I think it's for our outward seeing it and experiencing it, having a point in our life that we could point out and say, that's where I obeyed the gospel. That's where I came to Christ. That's where I came in contact with that blood that washes away my sins. And so it is the blood of Jesus Christ, but baptism plays a significant role in it. And that's what I want us to do. Wanted us to do is just go through these scriptures and see them. And if you have any questions, you know, let's talk about it. If you're thinking about being baptized, or you have a family member or a friend, somebody that talks to you about it, these scriptures come in handy for you. And so maybe you can keep those and you have them there with you. Let's close with a word of prayer and then we'll offer an invitation. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this day and this colder weather. And Lord, of course, it's been nice being warm, but we understand it's winter. And thank you, God, for that and watching over us. But also, Father, we thank you for watching over us in our lives in all ways and keeping us. And Father, thank you so much for this image of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, but also our death, burial, and resurrection with Jesus, that we might stand before you completely washed of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.